Despite the ever-present media, the idea that we are more in touch with the news events of our time is something of an illusion. Think about your own time. Chances are that a war or an event that took place when you were in high school, you might barely know about, while the battles of the Civil War or World War II you can tick off in your AP history exam. We're exploring this idea of built-in blind spots in a whole range of human learning that affect how we think about ourselves, affects our sense of history, our understanding of racial discrimination. Ironically, the events perhaps most relevant to young people today in high school and college can be the most foreign and unfamiliar events. The 2003 war in Iraq, the 2008 financial crisis, the devastation of Hurricane Sandy, they all live in the blind spots of students who are urged to focus more on settled history rather than getting embroiled in political debates that may put teachers and schools on the defensive. It could be that the moment young people are discovering who they are, finding themselves emotionally stepping out on their own, they're inclined to miss the big headlines all around them. I missed the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan back in 1978, just coming out of high school. What was your blind spot? We'd love to hear it at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Joining us now is Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history and education at NYU's Steinhardt School. Jonathan, welcome.
It's good to be here.
There are these blind spots that relate to the ways in which we teach history, the subjects we choose to teach, and also a sense that students, as they grow up, become more inwardly focused for a few years, they might miss some stuff that happens right around them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And my daughter's a good example. She's an 11th grader. She's taking AP US History this year. And she has learned, as per your comments earlier, a lot about the Civil War, not so much about Afghanistan and Iraq, not because the textbooks neglect them, because I looked at some textbooks and those wars are described in the recent editions, I think, in a fairly balanced way. I think the problem is of a different order. It's that these wars have become a part of their reality, so they're unremarkable. My daughter was 5 when we invaded Afghanistan, and she was 7 when we invaded Iraq. And so she's never been at school when we haven't been at war in either Afghanistan or Iraq.
So the understanding of the significance of a war is involved in experiencing the time pre-war and then going into war and understanding the consequences.
Definitely. And also, I mean, with respect to consequences, I think all of us as part of this discussion have to remind ourselves that we don't have conscription in this country anymore like we've had in most of our previous wars. And therefore, if you grow up in a well-to-do suburb like my daughter is growing up in, it's extremely unlikely that you'll serve in the military or that really anyone that you're close to will. And I think that's a really important point here because it's unlikely to affect these kids in a personal and direct way.
And I never went to Vietnam, but in the 70s, when I was going to high school, the draft lottery continued well into my high school years, and we were all obsessed with it, focused on it, even though it became fairly clear that we weren't going to have to be drafted. But we all had draft cards, and it certainly drew us into the events.
Absolutely. And I think that that is one of the enormous contrasts between our own youth and our kids' youth.
Do you think that there is a fix, an approach to history, to teaching that would remind kids about things that are happening much closer to their age, their time on this earth, and that would maybe provide some useful insights as they examine the significance of events that are happening around them?
Oh, absolutely. And that approach is to put difficult questions to the kids. I want to emphasize that the best teachers have always done that, and they do it still. But I think there's some other important contextual factors that are working against that right now. First is the rise of standardized testing as, let's just say, the gold standard in American education. The second important context of recent years is that the rights of teachers, the free speech rights of teachers in their own classrooms, have been radically scaled back. The most important court case about this involved an Indiana teacher who was asked by her fifth grade students if she had ever been to an anti-war protest. This, by the way, was in response to a picture of an anti-war protest in a current events magazine. She said that she had, and she honked her horn in support, and the school district decided not to renew her contract, and the courts upheld that decision. So you put these two factors together, that is, the massive rise in standardized testing and the massive decrease or diminution of teacher rights, and I think what you have is a situation where the kind of discussion that I'm asking for is going to be unlikely.
Before you go, what's your blind spot in history?
Actually, for me, it's the most important single social fact of my lifetime, which is the massive entry of women into the paid workforce. And I think the consequences of that for us as a society we're almost so close to them that we can't gauge them or realize them.
Sounds like a great grant proposal, if you ask me. Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history and education at NYU's Steinhardt School. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It was fun.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.